Good morning. How are you this morning? Some of you are okay. How's the rest of you? It's good to be here. Wasn't originally down to preach today, but Dave's had a busy week looking after his family, so I thought I'd step in and give him a hand, take a load off, and so here I am. Yay! We're into Philippians 4, and I'm going to read part of this to you this morning. Most of us are probably familiar with a lot of this text, and so a bit of a reminder. There's a couple of verses that we throw around a lot, sing about sometimes. I remember growing up as a kid, we used to sing around. Probably Ruth and Andrew will remember that. Joyce in the Lord always. Yeah. So let's pray first. God, I just thank you for your word. I ask Jesus that you would use your word this morning to both challenge us and encourage us. And I thank you for this opportunity to be together in this context. And we pray your spirit would speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always." How often? What does always mean? In the Greek? Always. Yeah, good. I will say it again in case you missed it. Rejoice. Let your gentleness, your kindness, your compassion, your empathy be evident to all. To how many people? Very enthusiastic this morning. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. How many things? But in every situation, how many situations? You see, there's a bit of a theme going here, isn't there? In every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. How much understanding? Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I have a confession to make. I don't. Some would say that I'm not a real outwardly expressive, joyful person. What? Don't laugh. You know, a good comedy, I'm laughing on the inside. Just not a big expressor of joy, right? Doesn't mean I'm not joyful. And if I'm honest, if I'm having a really bad day, like I'm feeling down, I'm a bit, you know, I'm done, I'm frustrated, I'm annoyed, whatever it might be, something's happened, I'm grieving, I'm sad, and, you know, Mr. Positivity walks up. What's up with you? Put a smile on your dial. She'll be right, mate. Inside, I'm punching them in the face. Honestly, just I don't do that, just inside, okay? Everything's on the inside. I don't know about you, but when you're having a really bad day and that, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Positivity comes along and you kind of just want to tell them to go away, right? When I'm feeling down, I actually don't like being around positive people. Because there's that part of me that's like, no, I want to be here. I choose that sometimes. I choose to be angry. And not that there's anything wrong with being angry. It's a normal, natural emotion. But I often choose to sit in it just that way a little bit too long. But we are told to rejoice in the Lord. How often? Let your gentleness, your kindness, your empathy be evident to all, everyone. Blah. Can't do that. The Lord is near. You know, I've met people who, from my perspective, seem to have everything. A lot. Have it all. And yet, once I get to know these people, I realize that the one thing they don't have is joy. They can have a lot of stuff and tick a lot of boxes in the world's economy, but they're not joyful people. They're often grumpy. I've also met people that seem to have nothing. I remember the first time I went to Kantanong Village in Takao, Cambodia. It's about an hour out of Phnom Penh. And I was speaking at a church in the village. And I went for a walk before the service. And there was these three kids from the village, dirt roads, have nothing, don't go to school, just playing with rubber bands, having the time of their life. Smiles on their toothless faces, their dirty one outfit that they wear for a week. Happy and joyful. You know, the pursuit of happiness is a big thing in our culture. A lot of what we do and put our minds to and commit to is about trying to be happy. But happiness and joyfulness are not the same. But we tend to link them together. You know, Paul does not say, be happy. He says, rejoice, which literally means be joyful. He doesn't say, be happy always. I'm glad about that. He says, be joyful always. And it's very specific. Our happiness tends to be, and this is not a revelation for probably any of you this morning, but just a reminder. Happiness tends to be connected to circumstances or what's going on around us or what's happening to us. You know, I'm happy when my soccer team wins a game, which unfortunately hasn't been very often this year, Matt. And they lost again last night to another team in the bottom three. Very sad. I'm happy when I win soccer. I'm happy to meet you. I'm happy when I get my coffee in the morning. I'm happy to go for a swim in the ocean. I'm happy when I succeed. I'm happy when things go well or right or I get what I want. That makes me happy. But happiness and joyfulness in this context are completely different. Happiness is circumstantial, external, forever changing. It depends on what happens to us, around us. But joy, the joy that Paul is talking about, is rooted in relationship with Jesus. It's eternal. It's enduring. It comes from who God is and what God is doing in us. So you can be sad and joyful. Now, Tom reminded us last week of where Paul was when he was writing these letters. He was in a stinking, dark jail, telling people to be joyful. Interesting. So we can be angry and joyful. We can be sad, grieving, annoyed, frustrated, tired, upset, offended, and joyful. Happiness is an emotion, joy is a decision. I can choose joy. And yet, so often I do not. Maybe because I'm stubborn, possibly. Sure, Jen would agree. Maybe I'm annoyed at God. I won't be joyful. Maybe I'm just selfish sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, I love the little three words that Paul puts in there, four words. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I believe that joy, this spiritual joy from a different dimension, this is kingdom joy, comes from perspective. Not circumstances, how we choose to see the world, the filters that we look through, what we focus on. When we focus on God's nearness, God with us, His goodness, His grace, His kindness, His love, we see life differently. Paul tells us what to focus on more in this text. You know, that last little part of the scripture that I read out. You know, focus on what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is excellent, what is praiseworthy. One of the things that I do know is that what you choose to focus on, you will experience more of. What you focus on, you will experience more of. So if you focus on your lack, what you don't have, you'll experience more of that. If you focus on the negative, you'll experience more of that. What you focus on is what you get. And Paul is saying, focus on what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, what is excellent, what is praiseworthy. I mean, this text, there's a lot of challenges. Rejoice in the Lord always. Okay. Let everyone experience your kindness, your empathy, your compassion, your gentleness. Let it be evident to all. Well, probably wasn't evident to that guy that cut me off this morning.
You think I'm joking? No. No, I'm pretty patient in the car these days. Mellowed in my old age.
Evident to all. And then, just to like drive it a bit harder, Don't be anxious about anything. Not your wife, not your kids, not your finances, not your friends, not your relationships, not your future, not your past. And there's no like room for something you can, oh, but what about? Nah. But nah. Be anxious for nothing. Yeah, no worries. I got that one down, Pat. Losing sleep at night over my kids when they were young and older and still today. But for me, I believe that when we do choose joy, not in what's happening to us, what is around us, but in who God is and what He has done for us. When we focus on what is noble, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, what is excellent, what is praiseworthy, then in all of that, we get this incredible gift that I see so many people need and want and crave and desire and go after in life. And that is peace. Paul says the peace of God that doesn't make any sense to us. Peace of God. It transcends, goes beyond all of my understanding. I don't get it, but it's real. That peace will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Replace worry with prayer. Replace negativity with thanksgiving. Replace those momentary thoughts with meditating on God's truth. Focus on the right things brings and leads to joy. Not happiness. It can. You can be joyful and happy, by the way. That's okay. That's allowed. But you can also be joyful and deeply sad. You can be joyful and grieving and low and flat and lost and hurt and peed off. You can still choose, it is a choice, to be joyful, to rejoice in the Lord. And focus on the right things. Because joy and peace are very connected. When we choose joy, we experience peace. And both of them are not of this world. They are both kingdom. It's kingdom joy and it's kingdom peace. It's supernatural joy and it's supernatural peace. It's not me making myself at peace. Peace guards our hearts when joy sustains our perspective. That's the kind of peace that you can't take away from me. You can't. They can't. It's okay to pursue happiness, by the way. It's not a bad pursuit. And I hope and pray that each of you in that pursuit find happiness. More and more. But what I hope more is that you would embrace joy. Because it's the joy that will sustain you when you're not happy. When things aren't going right. When you feel lost, you feel confused, you feel rejected, you feel let down, you feel betrayed, you feel hurt, you feel depressed. Your happiness won't sustain you, but the joy in the Lord, the joy in your relationship with Jesus will. And I think a great life lesson, when things around us are, we feel like they're against us, things aren't going right, this person's done this to me, that person's done that to them, we are bombarded, not just individually, but we are bombarded with all the bad stuff going on in our world. You only have to open your phone and you can read the latest bad stuff that's going on in our world. The disagreements, the issues, the problems, the hate, the war, the injustice. You can read that 1,000 times an hour. I mean, when I was younger, believe it or not, before mobile phones existed, there's a few of us in the room, the only way I could find out about bad stuff was if I actually went and bought the newspaper and sat down and read it. And even then, it only kind of got bits of it. Now I can just open my phone and just, I can read till my heart's content of all the bad, negative, horrible, crappy stuff that's going on in our world. Paul tells us not to focus on that. He's not saying ignore injustice, but he's saying focus on what is praiseworthy. Focus on what is excellent. Focus on what is noble. There's good stuff going on out there in the world. God and His church are doing amazing things in communities of war. Focus on that. Daily gratitude, meditate on Scripture, shifting our focus from the problem to the promises of God. It's challenging in our world. I believe, particularly for our young people, you are bombarded and overwhelmed with everything that is wrong in our world. And there's a lot of things wrong. That is for sure. But there's a lot of things right. My prayer for each of us is that we would choose joy regardless of how we feel. Regardless of whether we're in prison like Paul, having a bad day, have been betrayed, let down, or cut off driving our car. That we would choose joy and let it transform our life, our perspectives, and our peace. You know, Jesus is already proud of you. 100%. Whether you are joyful or not, He's still proud of you. But it does delight Him when His children choose to rejoice in Him. Always. Let me pray. Jesus, this is a tough ask. And I feel it's getting harder and harder in our world to truly be joyful. I pray that you would help us to focus on the right things, on what is noble and praiseworthy and excellent. That we would choose joy. And in our choosing, we would experience and encounter your peace that transcends our understanding, that doesn't necessarily make sense but is real. Holy Spirit, I pray you would minister to every person here this morning. Even as I pray, my sense is that there are some who are wrestling and fighting with this whole idea. How can you tell me to be joyful? You don't know what I've gone through this week. Jesus does. You don't know what I've done in my life or how I feel or how I wrestle with anxiety. Jesus does. You don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know where my kids are at. You don't know about this or that. Jesus does. And I pray his peace over you this morning that won't make sense. And I pray that you would embrace it, because we don't like to embrace stuff that doesn't make sense. But my prayer is that you would open your hearts and your hands and your lives to receive and embrace the peace of God that doesn't make sense this morning. Amen.